eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 4. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I remember a time when I was in high school traveling with the scouts on a trip. I think the book, it most likely was, because I don't know what else it would be, but I think it was The Crucible. Is it Arthur Miller, his play about the Salem witch trials. I know in particular the book was about the Salem witch trials, and a friend of mine had let me borrow it because I was bored and he was reading it for high school, and I was kind of enamored with it. And I was so focused on reading the book, my father kept, who was in the driver's seat, kept calling back to me, saying my name, and I was just engrossed in it, was not paying any attention. And I remember my mom spoke up and said my name, and apparently I responded to the first time she said it, to my father's immense frustration. But when you talk about listening, when you talk about answering, I'm in the stage with three young children, basically from six all the way down to two. And certainly with our four-year-old and our six-year-old, we're in this phase where there's a listening and a response that's sort of required. And Psalm 4 is really this this psalm that begins with kind of maybe what you think it's going to be about and then shifts a little bit in the voice. And so it begins with this appeal to God to answer me. As Spurgeon says, he says the first sentence shows that believers desire, expect, and believe in a God that heareth prayer. And we would even say that we would expect to answer in some way, shape, or form. And so it has a little bit of this edge to it that he is addressing God, seeking for him to answer to the call that he will have. But it kind of changes in the voice of the psalm in verse 2. And really, it's interesting when you start to read these and see who's being addressed, and we'll see this even more as we go on, that sometimes it moves from a speaking to himself, speaking to God, speaking to a crowd or to opponents, or to those who, again, are in a relationship or in a proximity as God's people. And so there's these voices that he takes. And in verse 2, it shifts away from addressing God to addressing men. As a matter of fact, that word in the ESV, O men, is a little bit incomplete. Even in your notes on the bottom, though, you'll notice it says, O men of rank, or this idea that there's some sort of men of high honor, and he's basically calling them out, and he does that for the next several verses until verse 6, when it shifts kind of back to addressing, if nothing else, the people who trust in God, and then a desire to be the kind of people who trust and find their peace in God. And so it's interesting when you read it that way, that this sort of prayer psalm is really one that has other uses. Again, Spurgeon, he says, he in his section, in his Treasury of the Psalms for Preachers, he breaks it down this. He says, the means which a believer should use to win the ungodly to Christ. Golden Gay says that he says that the psalm is really a recruitment for other people to share the psalmist's reliance, that he is calling them to this same thing that he experiences, that even though he's calling out to God, seeking an answer, there is a reliance that he has on him and an expectation. Again, Spurgeon, he breaks it down actually into kind of five parts once you begin and go through verse 2 through 8. He starts first with, fancier language, is the first part in verse 2 is expostulation, which again, if you're like me and you're not familiar with the term expostulation, it's basically an expression of protest, it kind of a rant, if you will, or hey, I'm going to say something to you that's maybe hard for you to hear. So I was like, hey, warning, and really he begins with that, O men of rank, listen up here. Like, how long shall honor be turned into shame? He then goes on to instruction in verse 3, that he says, understand that God sets apart for himself the godly. God is the one who hears me when I call. And then the third part we see in verses 4 and 5 when he turns to exhortation, basically directing it towards the men of rank that he's speaking to. And so you have several different instructions to them. Be angry and do not sin. Which, by the way, it's one of those things that I just never caught that's quoted later in the New Testament, Ephesians 4:26. And it was one of those that's like, oh, wow, you know, here it is. I had no idea that it was a reference to the psalm that Paul is quoting. But you see that be angry and do not sin, this idea of pondering in your hearts on your bed, meditation and silence. Again, this idea that we need to be reflecting on who we are, on our place. Certainly anger, when we look at that and what kind of anger we have, whether it's righteous anger, most of the time we turn towards our own sinful desires in that anger. Offer right sacrifices, put trust in your Lord. So again, those are all statements of exhortation. And then verses 6 and 7 moves to the kind of the fourth point, which, as Spurgeon said, is a testimony to the blessedness of true religion. And so this, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Basically saying that, again, asserting a trust and a reliance upon God above and beyond those who have abundance here and now on the earth, who maybe aren't seeking the words of the Lord. They're not waiting to hear what God has to say. And again, true religion is not a term that's fallen on favor lately, but it certainly is, again, those who trust and who put themselves in that position of trusting in God. It's appealing to them that God provides the needs. He provides joy. He lifts up his face and gives us the blessings we experience. And finally, then, the fifth is the exemplification of that testimony, this idea that he gets to the end, he says, look, this is how I live. In peace I lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. That no matter what his circumstances will be, and again, Psalm 3, we were just talking about the difficult circumstance of David with his son Absalom. No matter what those may be, he sleeps well, because God's the one that takes care of his needs. Again, I was reading last night with my girls. We were reading through, we've been going through the Little House on the Prairie series, which I grew up reading, and we're in the second book, and there's a story where the family sells a horse, a couple horses, and the buyer gives him about half the money, which is $200, a significant amount at the time. And of course, the mother is paranoid that she just wants that money in the bank and to be safe. It's a different time. There's not the security we have today, certainly. And so she's hiding it in different places throughout the house, and they hear a noise outside, and it turns out it's a stray dog. And in the morning, the mother wakes up to tell him a story that in the middle of the night, she heard the dog growling out in the yard, because they, of course, put out some scraps for the dog, and the dog was clearly seeing something out in their wood lot and kept growling at it all through the night, basically. And in the morning when they woke up, they found the footprints of two men who had come up, and as they found out later, they think were in association with a dishonest horse buyer to basically steal the money back from the people that they had sold it to. And so the conversation turned with my daughter towards safety at night and the responsibility, you know, that we have. And she came up with various booby traps around the house and also asked that I teach her how to throw knives, which was a fun conversation. But in all this, it was this idea and appealing to her that, no, we trust in the Lord. And so when we look at this psalm, the listen here is not the answer me when you call, or when I call, the listen here, God, I is not just directed towards God, it's directed towards us as well. It's an appeal to who we are and who we need to be. And so I do agree with Spurgeon that this is a way for us to understand, look, this is how we live. We trust in the Lord. He's the one who offers us peace. Again, I pray this has been an encouragement for you, and I hope you have a blessed week. Take care. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.